जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी यशोद नंदन ब्रज जन रंजन यशोद नंदन ब्रज जन रंजन यमुन तीरवन चारी यमुन तीरवन चारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी जय ओम विष्णुपाद भरमहंस परिव्राजकाचार्य अष्टोत्तर शत श्रीमद हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस अभय चरण अरविंद भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद की जय ओम विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिव्राजकाचार्य अष्टोत्तर शत श्रीमद हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस भक्ति सिद्धांत सरस्वती ठाकुर प्रभुपाद की नामाचार्य शील हरिदास ठाकुर की अनंत कोटि वैष्णव वृंद की प्रेम से कहो श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासदि गौरभक्त वृंद की श्री श्री राधा कृष्ण गोप गोपीनाथ श्यामकुंड राधाकुंड गिरि गोवर्धन की ब्रजभूमि श्री वृंदावन धाम की पुरुषोत्तम क्षेत्र श्री जगन्नाथपुरी धाम की गंगमयी की जय यमुनामयी की जय भक्ति देवी की जय तुलसी देवी की जय ग्रंथराज श्रीमद्भागवतम की जय कलियुग पावन हरिनाम संकीर्तन की जय हरे कृष्ण महामंत्र की जय ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు శ్రీ గురు అండ్ శ్రీ గౌరాంగ ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ రీడింగ్ ఫ్రమ్ శ్రీమద్ భాగవతం క్యాంటో 4 చాప్టర్ నెంబర్ 2 టెక్స్ట్ నెంబర్ 33 మైత్రేయ ఉవాచ తస్యైవం వదతః శాపం భృగోః స భగవాన్ భవః నిశ్చక్రామ తతః కంచిత్ విమనా ఇవ సానుగః తస్యైవం వదతః శాపం భృగోః స భవాన్ భవః నిశ్చక్రామ తతః కించిత్ విమనా ఇవ సానుగః తస్యైవం వదతః శాపం భృగోః స భగవాన్ భవః నిశ్చక్రామ తతః కించిత్ विमना इव सानुगः
भगवान् भवः निश्चक्रं ततः
किञ्चित्
विमान इव सानुगः
भृगोस भगवान् भवः निश्चक्राम ततः किञ्चित् विमना इव सानुगः मतजिस् मैत्रेय उवाच तस्यैवं वदतः शापं भृगोस भगवान् भवः निश्चक्राम ततः किञ्चित् विमना इव सानुगः ट्रांसलेशन एंड पर्पोर्ट बाय हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस एसी भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद द सेज मैत्रेय सेड When such cursing and counter-cursing was going on between Lord Shiva's followers and the parties of Daksha and Bhrigu, Lord Shiva became very morose. Not saying anything, he left the arena of the sacrifice, followed by his disciples. Purport. Here Lord Shiva's excellent character is described. In spite of the cursing and counter-cursing between the parties of Daksha and Shiva, Because he is the greatest Vaishnava, he was so sober that he did not say anything. A Vaishnava is always tolerant, and Lord Shiva is considered the topmost Vaishnava. So, his character, as shown in this scene, is excellent. He became morose because he knew that these people, both his men and Dakshas, were unnecessarily cursing and counter-cursing one another, without any interest in spiritual life. From his point of view, he did not see anyone as lower or higher because he is a Vaishnava. As stated in Bhagavad Gita, Panditaha Samadarshinaha, one who is perfectly learned does not see anyone as lesser or greater because he sees everyone from the spiritual platform. Thus, the only alternative left to Lord Shiva was to leave in order to stop his follower Nandishwara as well as Bhrugumuni from cursing and counter-cursing in this way. Om Ajnanatimirandhasya Jnananjanashalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam rupah kadamahiyam dadati svapadantikam Vandeham shri guroh shri yutapadakamalam Shri gurun vaishnavamscha Shri rupam sagrajatam Sahagana raghunadhanvitam tam sajivam Sadvaitam savadhutam parijana sahitam Krishna chaitanya devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhan Vitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dina Bandho Jagatpati Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostuti Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Haripriye Vanchakalpatarubhyascha Kripasindhubhya evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्त वृंद, हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। Hare Krishna. In this section, we see that the followers of Lord Shiva and followers of Daksha are having conflict with each other, and they were cursing each other. Counter cursing and cursing was going on, and at one point Lord Shiva became very much concerned about the raising upheaval of negative vibrations there. The entire ether is getting surcharged with negativity there. Shiva could not sit there. He was not happy with what's going on there. So Shiva just walked out, and he thought, this is a very right way to stop what's happening there. Now, even in his presence, so much, he is the prominent demigod, he is the best Vaishnava, topmost devotee. Even in his presence, lot of argumentation, cursing, blasphemy was going on. Sometimes, when one's false ego or ignorance just comes up, he doesn't even acknowledge the presence of someone very great or superior also in the assembly, and then he just speaks out. His false ego or ignorance just pushes him to very boldly and harshly express his current negative emotions, even in the presence of a great person like Shiva. And who is speaking here? Nandi is directly speaking in front of Shiva. And Bhrigu was speaking there, siding the Daksha's party. And Nandi was speaking, siding Shiva's party. Certainly, Nandi is a very loyal servant of Lord Shiva. When his master is criticized or insulted, certainly it's quite natural for him to respond, right, against those people who are blaspheming. So to that extent it's fine, but it's going just overboard and then going beyond, and so much so that Shiva did not approve it. Ultimately, a servant's behavior is supposed to please the master, and now here the master is not getting pleased, right? Shiva disapproved what's happening there. And now, considering this kind of situations that might often arise in our practical life also, we need to meditate on this this principle or this mentality of a conditioned soul in general, to take sides or to prove oneself right, to give in to the temptations of false ego or ignorance, and blaspheme people, criticize people. So it's a very grave, it's okay, it's a very grave message that Bhagavatam is giving us. Here, now Nandi is cursing not just Bhrigu, he's cursing all the Brahmanas. And Bhrigu is not just cursing or blaspheming Nandi. He is criticizing all the followers of Lord Shiva, cursing all the followers of Lord Shiva. Now, the conflict or the ego clash between two personalities could lead into conflict or ego clash between two communities. And sometimes an immature person could act as
a self-appointed representative of his entire community, and blasphemer, criticizer, cursor, just plan something against another community completely. Who authorized him to become the representative of this community? That's a question mark. Right? For example, in the 9th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, there are two girls, Devayani and Sharmishta. Devayani was the daughter of Shukracharya. Sharmishta was the daughter of Vrishaparva. He is the king of demons. Shukracharya was the guru of demons. He is a Brahmana. So they were friends. They were together, just exchanging pleasantries and laughing and then happily spending time with each other. And they went towards a lake to take bath. And they took bath. They came out. Somehow, by mistake, their clothes were exchanged. Then they became representatives of Brahmana dynasty and Kshatriya dynasty and started fighting with each other. How dare you take my clothes? Devayani says. How dare you wear my clothes? Sharmishta says. Devayani says, your father, who is a king, a Kshatriya, a demon, he comes and takes blessings from my father every day. He offers respects to my father. My father is so glorious. Our community is so glorious. Brahmana community is excellent, right? You people are supposed to serve us. How dare you touch my clothes? We are superior to you. That's what Devayani's point was. And Sharmishta says that your father is maintaining himself because of the charity given by my father. Right? We Kshatriyas are maintaining you Brahmanas. Without our mercy, without our charitable disposition, how will you survive? You can't maintain yourself. That is Sharmishta's point. Like that day, these two innocently looking, apparently, girls who are like friends 5 minutes back before entering the lake, became lifelong enemies after, as soon as they came out of the lake. Right? One ego clash. Dress got changed. Oh, I'm sorry, I took this dress. Take this back and then give it to me back. That could have been solved at that level, but they became self-appointed representatives of entire communities, and this became a big problem. And because of his undue affection towards his daughter, Shukracharya had to push or force Vrishaparva to fulfill the desires of Devayani, whatever she wanted. So later what happened was, these girls started fighting with each other, and Sharmishta threw Devayani into a well, and later Yayati came and rescued Devayani. And just because you rescued me, you have to actually become my husband also, she said. And finally, their marriage was approved by Shukracharya, and Shukracharya went to Vrishaparva. Your daughter has insulted my daughter, so you must fulfill whatever she demands. And Shukracharya made this ignorant girl speak in front of Vrishaparva. Vrishaparva said, this Sharmishta has to become my lifelong maid servant. Friends became lifelong enemies, right? A princess, the daughter of a great king like Vrishaparva, has to become a maid servant, and throughout her life, she just have to serve Devayani. And a Brahmani, Devayani, she became the queen of another king. And the rest of the story happens. The point I just wanted to make here in this context of cursing and counter-cursing between Bhrugu's party and Shiva's party is that, so people unnecessarily become self-appointed representatives of their entire community, and beyond their scope, beyond their jurisdiction, they start blaspheming another community, and it could become a bigger rival. If only one can take little low profile and adjust in the circumstance and not give in to that inner temptation of fulfilling one's false ego, then they would have continued to remain as friends. This much of counter-cursing and cursing may not have happened also in this section also. But there is transcendental arrangement also in different ways. But for practical understanding, we need to see sometimes ego clashes could lead to a bigger troubles. Now another thing that we can see in this pastime is that because of one person's mistake, sometimes the tendency is to condemn the entire community or the race or the group from which that person is coming. It's the tendency in this world, deep-rooted tendency. For example, right in the beginning of Bhagavatam, you know, Parikshit Maharaj garlanded Shamik Rishi with a dead snake. And that news went to his son, Shamik Rishi's son, Sringi. He was a small boy, 5-year-old boy. And this boy said, all these Kshatriyas are like watchdogs. They are supposed to be staying outside our houses. How can they expect to come inside our houses and then dine on the same plate as the master? When he comes to our ashram and asks for water or food or whatever, are we obliged to give him? Are we his servants? He's supposed to be our servant. He's like a dog in front of our house. He came into our ashram, that itself is a big mistake. And he's putting dead snake on my father's. How dare he insult like that? I curse him to die within 7 days because of the bite of a snake bird. So like that, he became a representative of entire Brahmana community and then made Parikshit Maharaj a representative of entire Kshatriya community and condemned all Kshatriyas. All Kshatriyas are like this, watchdogs. Right? And he says, just because the great supreme personality of Godhead, Krishna, is not there on this planet, he has disappeared from this planet, these unscrupulous Kshatriyas are behaving so whimsically like this, so don't they think that we Brahmanas have power to rectify their rebellious mentality? So I'll teach him a lesson. I curse him to die within 7 days. Right? Not only he became the representative of Brahmana community, he became a representative of Krishna also. Right? I'm a representative of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is supposed to do Dushta Shikshan. I will do Dushta Shikshan now. Right? So that's the mentality that he was exhibiting, Sringi. On the other hand, Parikshit, so humbly, he said, sometimes one could become representative of one's community also in exhibiting a Vaishnava quality, in exhibiting one's humility. So when Sukadeva Goswami came in front of Parikshit Maharaj and sat on the Vyasasana, Parikshit Maharaj so humbly said, I am a Kshatra Bandhu. We are like reject water. Right? When you are entering the house, in a traditional house, you first wash your feet and then enter the house. Right? Nowadays, the bathroom may be inside, deep inside the house. Right? You have to pass through all the main rooms to wash your feet. Or sometimes people may not consider washing feet also. Anyways, in traditional houses, first they wash feet and then enter the house. So when you wash feet, that water is useless. It goes into SBT or it goes into some canal. It's not reusable, right? So Parikshit Maharaj says, we Kshatriyas are like that wash water, right? You Brahmanas are supposed to reject us like that wash water and not, we are not reusable. And you are showing such great mercy on such Kshatriyas like us. He became representative of his community, but he's presenting himself lower than the other community. He's not boasting his superiority over the other community. Parikshit Maharaj. Right? And even within his community, he's presenting himself as the lowest. You have come here because of Krishna's arrangement, and because I am somehow or the other connected to the great devotees like Pandavas, Krishna now showed this mercy upon me and sent you. They are glorious. They are glorious devotees. But I am like a Kshatra Bandhu. I am not qualified to receive your audience. But out of my great fortune, I received your audience. Right? That's what Parikshit Maharaj said in front of Sukadeva Goswami. And because one Brahmana cursed Parikshit Maharaj, Parikshit Maharaj did not condemn the entire Brahmana race. He worshipped all the Brahmanas who have voluntarily assembled in front of Parikshit Maharaj at the time of his departure. Without sending any Facebook messages or WhatsApp messages All these people have gathered together on the banks of Ganges just to see the glorious departure of Parikshit Maharaj. So Parikshit was very grateful. He was worshipping all these Brahmanas. He was asking them questions. He is saying, Gayatha Vishnu Gatha, Tammopayatam Pratiyanta Vipra Gangacha Devi Dhritachittam Isi. Whatever magical thing that the Brahmana must have created, let it come and bite me. I have absolutely no fear about that. Gayatha Vishnu Gatha. You Brahmanas are my saviors. You should glorify Vishnu. And at the time of my departure, I should hear those glories of Vishnu and I should depart from this body. So that's Parikshit Maharaj's consciousness. Just because one Brahmana cursed me, all these Brahmanas are bogus, I don't worship them. He did not say like that. Right? On the other hand, we see another great example of Parikshit Maharaj's son only, Janamejaya. One snake bit my father. Because of one snake, my father died. So I'll conduct a big sacrifice to invoke the presence of all the snakes within the universe and kill all of them. You see this? Father is exhibiting one character of not condemning a race for one person's mistake or inappropriate behavior. He did not have any grudge towards that one person also. Parikshit Maharaj had absolutely no grudges or negative feelings or envy or hatred towards Sringi also. And he worshipped all this, his community also. His community. And he surrendered to another Brahmana, Sukadeva Goswami. And he heard Bhagavatam from Sukadeva Goswami for 7 days. Now, on the other hand, his son, Janamejaya, out of his deep affection for his father, he felt that what's happening was inappropriate. And he conducted a big sacrifice to invoke the presence of all snakes in the universe. And actually the snakes were falling in the Yajnakund. And they were getting burnt. So sometimes even Vaishnavas also can get into certain anger, right? And may just adopt to certain extreme steps. However, the glory of a Vaishnava is that although sometimes circumstantially he may give in to certain anger or certain extreme step, as soon as a good counsel is given to him, as soon as another Vaishnava comes and controls him and gives him good advice, he immediately becomes humble and follows. Janamejaya was doing that sacrifice. Brihaspati came. Brihaspati came and said, "My dear Janamejaya, what are you doing? Just because one takshak bit your father, that does not mean you kill all the snakes. So my humble suggestion to you is, please stop this sacrifice. Don't kill all the snakes. It's highly inappropriate." And he spoke many things to pacify Janamejaya. And Janamejaya agreed. "Yes, what you said is true. I will stop this sacrifice." He stopped it. So mistakes are common. But mistake is a mistake only when we justify that mistake. Only when we say that what I did was appropriate. If one takes little humility, it takes some little humility to admit that yes, what I did was a mistake and I will refrain from committing this mistake anymore. So he told Brihaspati, "I will not conduct this sacrifice," and he stopped it. Similar example we can see in the fourth canto in Dhruva Maharaj's episode. Dhruva Maharaj's brother, Uttama, he was killed by one yaksha. And Dhruva Maharaj became so outrageous. He went immediately to Alakapuri and he started fighting with the yakshas. And at one point, it seemed that he was getting defeated because he was one person. And there are 1,30,000 yakshas. And Dhruva Maharaj was throwing 3 arrows at a time. And all of them were throwing 6 arrows at a time. 6 arrows into 1,30,000 is like around 7.8 lakhs or 78,000, whatever. Those many arrows are coming every few seconds. How much time it will take to release an arrow? Right? Every few seconds, maybe every half minute, pakdo. Every half minute, so many arrows are coming upon Dhruva Maharaj. It's too overwhelming for him. So, he was getting defeated at one point. Then, many sages came to the rescue of Dhruva Maharaj. And they reminded Dhruva Maharaj of Narayanastra. And Dhruva Maharaj employed Narayanastra to fight with the yakshas. And he started defeating the Yakshas, and Yakshas just ran away. And of course, Yakshas also created certain illusions. In that context, Narayan, this sages came and reminded him of Narayanastra. But at one point, Dhruva Maharaj became, quote unquote, a victim of Atirosha. Atirosha means excessive anger, which is considered path to hell. And he started killing Yakshas. He started annihilating the entire race of Yakshas. Then Swayambhu Manu came. He said, "My dear Dhruva, for the mistake of one Yaksha, is it appropriate to kill so many Yakshas? And one full chapter is this counseling session. It's quite technical also." He said how Krishna is the cause of all causes, and Yakshas are just instruments in the will of providence. Somehow your brother was killed, you should not become too affected by this, and there is a lot of description. But the point I wanted to make here is, although Dhruva Maharaj got into the activity of killing so many Yakshas, he restrained himself when another Vaishnava came and suggested him. This kind of extreme step is not appropriate for a Vaishnava. You are already destined to go to the spiritual world. At the age of 5, you pleased the Supreme Lord, and within 6 months you got the darshan of the Lord, and you made him promise you that he will take you back to Godhead. Your ticket is booked to spiritual world. Why couldn't an airplane, you can directly board? Why are you throwing away the boarding pass now by behaving like this? This kind of behavior is inappropriate for a Vaishnava. And he said so many things. And Rumara said, "I'm sorry. What did I do was a mistake. I'm sorry. And what should I do?" Then Swayambhu Manu said, "You should go and appease Kubera. You should pacify Kubera. Because this Kubera is a great demigod, his displeasure will affect our dynasty. You should go and please him." Then Dhruva Maharaj went and begged forgiveness from Kubera and appeased him. And Kubera said, no, don't worry, it's okay, no problem. You have not killed the Yakshas. Time has killed the Yakshas. It's Supreme Lord's will. You are just an instrument." Like that, he said many things. And you ask any benediction, I will give you. But Dhruva Maharaj did not ask for wealth from Kubera. Dhruva Maharaj asked, "I want unflinching remembrance of Krishna." Now, Acharya say that Dhruva's position as a Vaishnava is higher than Kubera. Kubera's position as a demigod. Still, Dhruva Maharaj requested this kind of benediction from Kubera, of unflinching remembrance of Krishna. How could he bestow that? How could he bestow such a benediction upon someone who is destined to go to Vaikuntha, who got the darshan of the Lord, who has become such a exalted Vaishnava? Jiva Goswami gives this explanation, that Dhruva Maharaj thought that if I don't ask this benediction from him, and if Kubera is displeased with me in this manner, his displeasure will act as an obstacle in my remembrance of Krishna. I will not be able to focus on my devotional service. I will not be able to continue my Krishna Smaranam when another Vaishnava is unhappy with me. He may be senior, junior, exalted, Uttamadhikari, Madhyamadhikari, that's fine, that's a different discussion. Another person is displeased with me. Kubera, if he is displeased with me, how can I remember Krishna? So if he has any feelings of resentment or disappointment with me because of my behavior, I will not be able to remember Krishna. So Jiva Goswami says that Dhruva Maharaj asked for this benediction from Kubera because Kubera was affected by Dhruva's behavior somehow. So Kubera said, no blocks from my side. You can continue to remember Krishna. Right? So Dhruva Maharaj went overboard. Right? He tried to condemn the entire race of Yakshas, kill the entire race of Yakshas to prove, take revenge for his brother's death. And there's another reason also. Earlier, Dhruva Maharaj himself had revengeful attitude towards Uttama. Uttama was more or less passive in the scene where Suruchi was trying to chastise Dhruva. So, but still, Uttama was sitting on the lap of Uttanapada, throne of Uttanapada, and Dhruva Maharaj desired that position and he did not get it. So Dhruva Maharaj developed a certain grudge or negative feelings towards Suruchi and Uttama both. And later the Lord himself mentioned that Suruchi will die, Uttama will die in this manner, and you will have to rule the kingdom for 36,000 years, then you can come back to my abode, like that he said. So when Uttama actually died, then Dhruva Maharaj thought that, Acharya gave this explanation, Dhruva Maharaj thought that if I don't avenge for the death of Uttam, then people will still think that I am maintaining some kind of revengeful attitude towards Uttam. Right? So let me take revenge for his death. Let me kill and punish the people who have actually caused his death and prove that I have no negative feelings anymore towards my younger brother and prove that I love my brother. One of the verses that Swayambhu Manu speaks to Dhruva in his counseling session was, it has been proved you love your brother. You don't have to kill so many yakshas just to show that you love your brother so much. Right? So that need not be a reason for you to kill. Sometimes one may get into this also. Right? So some other Vaishnava has to come and pacify. Right? So it has been proved that you love your brother so much, so you please stop killing yakshas. Right? And actually what Dhruva Maharaj initially began with was proper. It's the responsibility of a king to punish unscrupulous people when some of his near and dear ones are unceremoniously killed by them. So to that extent, his move to attack Alakapuri was proper. But going overboard and killing so many yakshas was not proper. Right? So we see some people who may not be such great Vaishnavas, they get into certain conflicts and they develop a lot of negative feelings towards each other, and they curse and counter-curse each other, take revenge towards each other just because other people are acting against my desires, my will. But sometimes Vaishnavas also may get into this kind of feelings, but the glory of Vaishnavas, devotees, is that they will realize, oh, I did a mistake. And when another Vaishnava comes and tells them, they will control themselves. They will stop. They will restrain from doing that anymore. So, now, even amongst devotees also, there could be differences of opinion. But the differences of opinion amongst Vaishnavas will not lead into, are not supposed to lead into great conflicts or revengeful attitudes, right? Differences of opinion will continue to exist because different people have different flavors or different styles of functioning, different ways in which they think, different styles in which they address problems. So on the 1st of January 2016, His Holiness Radhana Swami Maharaj was giving a talk here in Prema Mahotsav. There he was giving this example of Vibhishan surrendering to Ram. When Vibhishan came to take shelter of Ramachandra, Hanumanji, Ram actually consulted Hanumanji, Sugriva and bigger ministers there. What should we do? Should we admit or not? Ram is like freezed in his mind. He wants to accept, give shelter to Vibhishan, no doubt about it. But still he consulted, what is the opinion of my associates? Sugriva said, you should never accept Vibhishan into our troop. Because after all, he is a Rakshasa. He may be having demonic tendencies. He may be surrendering to you. He may be coming as a spy of Ravana. He is the brother of your enemy. How can you accept him in your troop and still expect that he will not harm you? Right? So to my understanding, I think Vibhishan should not be accepted into our group. And Hanumanji had little more exposure than Sugriva about the character of Vibhishan. When Hanumanji was asked by Ram, Hanumanji said, I think we should take him. When I went to Lanka, I was observing everyone. Right? Hanumanji is very sharp in observing people and gazing their mentalities. So when Ravan was trying to kill me, Vibhishan actually stopped. Right? I saw Vibhishan as a very gentle person. In my observation during my Lanka visit, Vibhishan seemed to be a very sober and gentlemanly person. So I think there is no harm in accepting him into our troop. Then Ram said, I'll give my opinion now. I have heard both of your opinions. I'll give my opinion. My opinion is, forget Vibhishan. Even if Ravan comes to take my shelter, I will accept him into our troop. In my opinion. So now, what emotions that will trigger like in the hearts of Vibhishan and in the hearts of Hanuman and Sugriva. Sugriva immediately said, oh Ram, will that please you? If accepting Vibhishan into our troop pleases you, I am ready for it. Yes, let's take him into our group. The differences between Hanumanji and Vibhishan did not become a cause of conflict between them. Because Hanumanji, to the best of his understanding, was thinking that if we accept Vibhishan into our troop, that will best serve the purpose of Ram. And Vibhishan, to the best of his intelligence, he was thinking that if we accept Vibhishan into our troop, that may cause harm to Ram. Right? That will not serve the interests of Ram. So better we reject him. So both of them were one. They have only one opinion. Hanuman and Sugriva both had one opinion only. That is, how best to render service to Ramachandra. But as far as details of execution or expression of that emotion come into picture, they have different views, opposite views. But when Ram said, this is what that's going to please me, they immediately changed their views. Sugriva immediately changed his view. I thought this is the best, but if you think this is the best, let me do this. Right? So, opinions may be different, but the consciousness is same to please the Lord. The way that consciousness manifests in practical expression or expressing an opinion, that could be a little different. Right? But when he got a confirmation from Ramachandra that this is what pleases me, Sugriva is immediately happy to accept Ram's decision. And he did not have any grudge towards Hanuman. There is no envy between Hanuman and Sugriva. Right? I am the king. My opinion is not valued. And he is a minister. He is just a part of my team. And his opinion is valued more. Make king who? Yeah. So he was not, Sugriva was not thinking like that. And Hanumanji did not develop any superiority complex over Sugriva. See, my opinion is taken more seriously by Ram. Sugriva, he doesn't know much. Right? He did not look down upon Sugriva. Sugriva's position as the king of Kishkindar, king of Vanaras, remained intact before he expressed opinion, after he expressed opinion, and it was rejected also. Right? So there is no feeling of, like there is no looking down upon Sugriva from the side of Hanumanji, even when his opinion is taken more seriously than Sugriva's opinion. So their relationship as Vaishnavas continued. Right? Recently Vasudevapuru was telling us that sometimes senior people may just cut each other also in their opinions, but their friendship will continue. When you come together for a meeting, managerial meeting, generally the best idea wins. Right? This is the best amongst the available options wins. But in that process, multiple people will give multiple suggestions. If 10 people are giving 10 suggestions, only one may be implemented. Remaining 9 may be put down. But that does not mean these 9 people develop any grudge towards the one person. So that doesn't happen amongst Vaishnavas. Now we see in the case of Bhrugu and Nandi. So sometimes, like we can just see the practical side of it. Sometimes one may superimpose one's own conceptions or one's own identity or false ego and generalize that concept and say that this is the best thing, right? This is the best thing to do, right? This may be your personal opinion, but a generic opinion, it could be different, right? So this cursing and counter-cursing was not at all pleasing to Shiva. In this context, because these people are becoming appointed representatives of their entire communities and the curses are not exchanged between personalities, they are exchanged between communities, between different groups. All Brahmanas will become like this. All followers of Shiva will become like this. They will become Pashandis. They will become Pakhandis. So when things are getting too much, sometimes when someone is like too over-enthusiastic to vent out his frustration or just blaspheme other or criticize other people, it may not be the right context to control him, right, verbally. Shiva adopted to silence. And silence also was not doing anything. Shiva adopted to walking out. If I just depart from this place, probably they will stop this, right? So, Prabhupada makes a brilliant point in this purport. Thus, the only alternative left to Lord Shiva was to leave in order to stop his follower Nandishwara as well as Bhrugu. From unnecessarily cursing and counter-cursing one another without any interest in spiritual life. So when there is a higher purpose, so here without any interest in spiritual life, one who may have understanding of spiritual life also may keep aside spiritual interests and may get carried away with the material impressions, material ego clashes, right? So not that these people do not have any spiritual understanding, right? They're not pure materialistic people. They have some little understanding, certainly, right? But sometimes the material vibrations are so overwhelming that the higher purpose on a spiritual plane is conveniently neglected by both parties. So, for example, in the Samudra Manthan episode, these demigods and demons agreed to come together to churn the milk ocean. So, the Lord told the demigods, take the head side of Vasuki, and demons, you take the tail side. Immediately, demons got into conflict. What's happening? We are superior. We are more beautiful. We are more knowledgeable. We are more famous. We are more strong. How can we take the tail side? We should take the head side. Then the demigods humbly agreed, of course, under the guidance of the Lord. So they humbly agreed to take the tail side. But actually, internally, the Lord knows everything. What's the logic behind tail side and head side? That is known. So point is, they immediately did not get into any discussion to prove one's superiority. At every point, you need not have to prove yourself, right? At every point. For example, all the demigods and demons together carried the Mandara mountain to Samudra, this milk ocean. So many of them just fell down. Then Lord Vishnu came on Garuda and he lifted Mandara mountain, kept it on Garuda's back. How big Garuda must be. All the demigods and demons together could not lift this mountain and Garuda was taking it on his back. And Lord also sat. And Lord also revived all the demigods and demons also and revived both the parties and took them to the ocean, milk ocean. Why he had to revive the demigods and demons? He could have revived only the demigods. So at every point, ultimately, demons will lose and demigods will win. But you don't have to meditate on that result right in the execution also. So Vishnu did not, even demigods also, did not become over-enthusiastic. These people, don't revive them. You revive us only and then we'll come. No, he revived them also, right? So anyways, so at every point, whenever demons are getting too over-enthusiastic to take all the products of the Samudra Manthan, demons took low profile. Demons felt, okay, fine. demigods took low profile. Demons took all those things. Because the Lord trained them like that. Right? Lord told before Samudra Manthan only, they may get overexcited to take certain things. So you have to just agree to their demands. Right? So point I'm trying to make here is, when there is a reason for conflict or ego clash or argumentation, if one party takes a low profile, there is a very good possibility that the conflict will solve there. If both parties raise their voices, it will go like Devayani Sharmishta case, lifelong enemies. If they take low profile, one party takes low profile, other party will become pacified, and this party also will eventually be peaceful. Right? And not in a grudging manner also. Now you see, when Hanumanji was crossing this ocean of Lanka, on the way Mainaka came, and who is the other one? Surasa, right? Surasa came and opened her mouth. Simhika opened, and Surasa Hanumanji killed. So Simhika opened her mouth. One of them, I forgot the name, it's okay. So one Rakshasi opened her mouth, you should enter my mouth. Hanumanji said, I will not enter your mouth. He made his body big. Then she made her mouth big. And he made his body big. Big means not just, 10 inches to 20 is not like that. 10 yojanas, 20 yojanas, 30 yojanas, 100 yojanas. Then when her mouth was made so big, Hanumanji became very tiny, entered her mouth and came out. See, you wanted me to enter your mouth? According to Brahma's benediction, I entered your mouth and I came out. Then she became very pleased. Oh, you are so intelligent. Right? So Hanumanji took a low profile. He did not try to prove himself that how I can expand my size more. He did not get into that competitive spirit. He just immediately took a low profile. So I need to go and search for Mother Sita. That's my mission. Not proving myself superior to this lady, this demoness. He took a low profile. So then things were immediately solved. And he got blessings also by that. Right? So here no one was taking low profile. In Daksha's party and Shiva's party, no one is taking low profile. So Shiva had to take low profile. Shiva tolerated, he was silent, and he just walked out. Then both of them calmed down. Right? It needed Shiva's bold expression of disapproval and departure from that whole place only for them to calm down. Right? But a better case would have been that if one of them would have just adjusted themselves, then things would have been in a better way. Now we cannot impose that. The pastime has happened in that way. I'm telling about in our practical case, if one person takes a little low profile, other person will also be inspired to take low profile and eventually they may come together also. There is a possibility of coming together also. Right? And the differences of opinion or conflicts also should not become lifelong causes for lifelong enmity between two parties. So that is restricted to this event only. Restricted to this context only. Here I have some opinion, here I have some opinion. Sometimes this opinion will win, this opinion may not win. Right? You have this. So our friendship will continue despite these differences. So when someone comes to that level, friendships are sustainable. Relationships are sustainable. Otherwise there is every conflict to break relationships. Right? Now, I can just conclude with this one last point. We break relationship with someone, or we maintain certain grudge or negativity towards someone when they act against our will, when they do something that is displeasing to us, right? When their activities or words are not very impressive to our conceptions or our taste or anything like that. But just imagine the amount of tolerance that Krishna is exhibiting. How many millions of times the conditioned souls must have acted against the desires of Krishna, will of Krishna, or instructions of Krishna. Does Krishna feel offended? Krishna stays right in the hearts of all conditioned souls, even if they commit such abominable activities and take birth as ant or a dog or a cat or a pig or worm in stool also. Right? Krishna is never willing to break relationship with the conditioned soul, however degraded his consciousness may be. He comes as incarnations to reclaim all of them. But the conditioned souls, just because of one negative interaction, they can break relationship. right? So that's why here Prabhupada also makes one nice point. As stated in Bhagavad Gita, from his point of view, he did not see anyone higher or lower because he's a Vaishnava. Panditaha samadarsinaha. One who is perfectly learned does not see anyone as lesser or greater, but he sees everyone from the spiritual platform. If one identifies, this is the repeated teaching of Bhagavatam, if one identifies one's connection with the Lord, one's connection with Krishna, and if he identifies everyone else's connection with Krishna, the apparent differences on a like human platform will not cause deeper grudge towards other person so much so that one's relationship is totally gone. After all, we are all related to Krishna. So if I am related to Krishna and he is related to Krishna, is there not relationship between me and him? Why should I sacrifice that relationship for this one ego clash? Right? Yes, I maintain my opinion. He may maintain his opinion. No problem. That's okay, fine. We are people, we are individuals, we are unique. We have unique thought process. But it should not get into envy, hatred, negativity so much. Right? So, and if modes are not so compatible, one may even maintain a safe distance also. One may choose to maintain a safe distance also, but that does not mean one should completely maintain a negativity towards the other person. So we can just, these are few meditations on this very heavy episode of Daksha's party and Shiva's party getting into a lot of turmoil here. Thank you all very much. Granthraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.